of Women Podcast. Power of Women Podcast.
We're here at Olby's today for the next series of the Power of Women podcast. My name is Ruby Rare. I am an author and sex educator and podcaster and very enthusiastic Margate resident. And this series is called Leading Ladies. I'm going to be chatting to some brilliant women doing fantastic things all across Thanet. I'm joined by Steph Dickinson from Pie Factory Music today. How are you doing, lovely?
Yeah, I'm doing really well.
Good.
Nice bit of blue sky on a Saturday morning.
I know, it really helps,
so
doesn't
nice.
It? Well, and it helps that we're about to have a really lovely conversation.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm really looking forward to speaking and hearing about your life and the wonderful work that you do in Thanet. And to begin with, I wanted to, start right at the beginning. Where you grew up and a little bit about kind of what you were like as a kid. How would you describe yourself?
Yeah. So I was born in North London in the Whittington Hospital. Don't know if that still exists or not. And grew up on an estate called the Andover Estate till I was seven. And early years, I kind of remember just playing a lot. On the estate, we had some really interesting characters. There was some dude who collected. I don't know if it's the right word for dogs. Don't think you collect dogs. But he had a collection of dogs, bull terriers. And we used to it actually sounds quite scary now, recalling that. But we used to go and play. And there was another couple who had sticks of rock, which is a little at that time didn't realise we're going to be moving to the seaside later on, but that's kind of quite a nice little thing.
Cute.
But yeah, so grew up on that estate. I just have really happy memories of that time. And then we moved to Ramsgate when I was seven, and moved on to the Newington estate. And I was there till I was 14, I think. So that they're kind of more, I reckon, my more formative years. That's where I feel sort of the most sense of home, I guess, on that estate.
Yeah.
And it's quite a funny, weird mix of culture, I guess. Because so we were in a mock Tudor house on the Newington estate. And when we bought it, it was decorated like a pub on the inside. So there's lino floors everywhere, weird brass horseshoes hanging over. This is on the estate. And then you walk into this weird labyrinth of
you're in sort of fancy dress land.
A Thorley tavern.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah, I feel like that sort of is a good vision of my whole life, just a weird clash of cultures. I think there was some sort of the sort of weird mix of stuff was that we owned our house on the estate. So I've got kind of all the way through my life, I've got this kind of weird thing of being in between things, so very much working class culture, and grew up on estates, but I was considered a rich kid because my mum and dad had a mortgage and we didn't have to go and get our electricity on a key and get top-ups and stuff like that. But at the same time, I then somehow passed my 11 plus. Everyone told me I wouldn't. I took it anyway. I was am I allowed to swear, by the way, or not? Fuck you, I'm gonna take my 11 plus, and passed. And then went to grammar school and then felt really poor and suddenly was the other end of things and not quite fitting in that way. So, yeah, I think when I look back overall, I feel really privileged in terms of the happiness and the love I had in childhood. And it wasn't really until I got a bit older and then thought, oh, my childhood was quite different from others. But I don't look back on that in a negative way. I actually feel I was really privileged to have that.
Yeah. And actually, I think the moments in our lives, and I think the vast majority of us do have experiences of this, of feeling in between things. That's such a space for growth and empathy and understanding.
Yeah.
I have a lot of that in my life. I'm dual heritage, so kind of understanding two different cultures and how I fit in between them somehow. And in terms of my sexuality, I'm kind of seeing lots of patterns of that in my life and growing up. So it's really nice hearing you speak about that as well, and to be able to reflect on that is a really powerful thing.
Yeah, and I do actually feel they're the moments of real magic where you don't quite fit in a box, so you have to figure out another way. And also I feel like it now gives me, it gives me a bit of a fire to find where the boundaries have been drawn and blur some edges a bit,
yeah.
And be like, it doesn't have to be this or that. It can be both. And yeah.
Yeah. When you were doing that with your hands, and I just thought about, like, you know, if you're drawing with charcoal or something and then you like smudge it all, and it can get all really messy. Like, I think that mess is so important to have in our lives. And it's really, yeah, that's where all the interesting magical stuff happens. So yeah, thank you very much for sharing that.
No worries.
What was your, we're going to be talking about music a lot in this chat, and I wanted to know what your earliest memories of music are.
Again, eclectic. So my dad was quite into reggae growing up, and so I remember us having a record player and him playing a lot of reggae and soul. My mum is Irish, so there's also like quite a big musical culture within our family. So she played guitar. So there was always some sort of music going on. And my dad's also Greek Cypriot, so there was like a really interesting musical element of like every wedding and every gathering there being just like blaring Greek music. And I used to listen to like London Greek radio and make my friends listen to it. So yeah, quite eclectic. But not really, I wasn't really aware of anything to do with genre or like, you know, like how it all fitted together. I just loved music. I just loved singing, loved making music and listening to anything I could sort of get my hands on. That was my early memories, I think.
Nice. And at what point did Pie Factory Music come into your life? Because am I right in thinking that you, like, this has been a part of your life for a long time?
Yeah, I used to go.
Amazing.
I used to go to Pi when I was little and learning the guitar. So I probably was around about, it was actually before it was even called Pi Factory Music, before it was like established as a charity.
Before it was cool.
Before it was cool. So yeah, I used to have like free guitar lessons when I was about 14, 15. And they just used to run what was called Rock School, what's now called Band Factory. And they used to open it up on a Saturday and you could just book a slot to have a free lesson. So I used to like trudge down my little guitar and learn some chords. So that's like my first memory. And then got involved more in sort of performance opportunities. So there's like a really funny picture of me when I'm little performing on a stage at Ramsgate, like down by where Weatherspoon's pub is. There's like a, it was like a youth band at the time. So we had like opportunities to perform when we were young, form bands. And that was kind of my first encounter with Pi.
That's amazing. And can you, I'm really excited about that just on a personal level, because I started volunteering as a young person for the sexual health charity that then
I went
on to work for like 5-6 years.
Yeah.
And I'm still involved in, and that's like, it was through being there as a younger person and kind of feeling nurtured there that I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I'm obsessed with this.
Mm.
And that's been a really formative part of my life. So what was your kind of, I'm curious to know about how that feels from your perspective in terms of Pi, like how did that shape you as you were growing up and kind of becoming an adult?
Yeah, well, I think ultimately what it feels like is like an extension of my family, because I look back on who I was when I first started getting involved with Pi, and there's some staff members who were there at the time helping me who are now part of my team. And I feel like it's just a really good marker of like looking back on how much we've all grown but moved together and sort of like, and also the big changes as well. Like when you think about what Thanet was like when I first went to Pi, that's really interesting as well. And kind of comparing it now to the creative and music scene that is in Thanet is absolutely fascinating. So it just feels like this kind of sturdy old ship. This, and I'm not going to carry on that. That's good. That's
I quite like where that metaphor could go, though.
Where
I'm into
are we
it.
Going? I don't sail, so I'm going to stop there.
So we've heard a little bit about what Pi was like. Is it okay? Is Pi the cool term to refer
Pi
it to?
Pi is kind of the more newer way we're referring to it, mainly because it's a mouthful to say Pi Factory Music.
And I don't. I want to be in with the cool kids. I want to be the little granny going Pi Factory Music. So we've heard a bit about what Pi was like for you when you were growing up. Now, I'm sure it's changed lots over the years, and you are so super involved. What's the name of your role? Creative director?
Managing director.
Like, how incredible But you've been with this organisation for so long and seen so much change. What does Pi look and feel like today?
Yeah, it's now it's grown to be, we've kind of got four main streams of work. So we have music and creative arts, which is always where it started. And that's, we've got Zoe, who heads up that kind of stream of work. And that's all about empowering emerging artists, the young people have just set up their own record label, releasing music, making music, collaborating, all that beautiful, cool stuff. Then we've also got a strand of work that is more generic youth work, because we really recognised over, probably over the last decade, just the need for safe spaces for young people and young people who wouldn't consider themselves musicians or interested in music, like just something a bit more open. So we have like open access, like our centre in Ramsgate is open 5 nights a week and they can go and cook or create or chill, watch the TV, stress, about exams together, like just a space that they own and they belong in. And with that also comes quite a lot of more pastoral care. So I think as an organisation, we've like grown into being a bit more holistic. So music is often the sort of way in, but then it's also like, well, we run a food bank because that's what our community needs, and we give out free sanitary products because that's what our community needs. And I think we've just realised that, I don't know, there's something really important about that social stuff that runs alongside all the creative stuff. And I think we'd be missing something if we did one and not the other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of, that's what we are now.
That's incredible to see that growth and that change, and for you to also recognise what the young people in your community need and reflect that in the organisation is incredible. It's like over the last sort of 10, 15 years, I've seen so much change in terms of like youth spaces and libraries just like crumbling away because we are continuing to be under a Tory government, basically. And to know that there are still nurturing spaces out there where people can just exist.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be to like prove a point or gain a skill or like improve. I'm doing that in like air quotes, just to like to relax and unwind and to feel connected is vital.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's for anyone, but especially for young people.
Yeah.
Where did your kind of passion, I guess, for like working with young people come from? And kind of, I wonder if there are any particular stories or moments over the last few years that you can, that really stand out in terms of just like how amazing young people are.
Oh, wow. Yes, so many. I think my original passion came from knowing the moments in my sort of teenage years that really impacted me for the good and for the bad, and how that shaped my whole entire life. Like they're kind of anchor points for me. So I think that kind of made me think I want to give my life to investing in young people. I believe in them. And also I think there's something so beautifully honest about young people that we can sometimes lose as adults. And so I just love being around young people who say it as it is without a filter often. And I feel like really safe in that. And I think we've got a lot to learn from that. And I think, yeah, sort of moments that stand out to me in terms of working with young people. One, it was quite a few years ago, actually. We were having a discussion with some young lads about violence and what they thought was the root of where does like violence come from? Why does sometimes we choose violence? And they said, one of them said, hopelessness. And that just like hit me straight in the heart.
Wow.
And I was just, I've always gone back to that when I see people negatively talking about young people or sort of grouping them, you know, quite often negatively. I feel like, well, how are we feeding into that sense of hopelessness, or what are we doing about that? Because if you have hope, there's so much more to life with hope, and we've often taken hope away from young people, so we've got to give it back, or they take it back themselves.
Yeah.
They need to take it back. But yes, that was one moment. I think another was, really recently, I just found this really lovely, and we were going to be launching a podcast with some of our emerging artists, and we were chatting about different segments, and we were talking about like having a fun segment of like, what's the funniest thing you've seen this week type thing. And one of them just stopped the conversation, one of the young people, and said, we just need to be really careful that we're not laughing at people in a mean way. And I was just like, oh, yes, like, Yes. And I feel like those tiny little moments are, this is the culture that I've been dreaming about. And this is the things that people often don't see in young people, so thoughtful and kind and compassionate. And I'm like, please, can you lead our country?
Yeah.
please, can you, right now. But anyway, yeah, just there are a couple of moments that stand out.
Thank you for sharing them. They're so, those are both such gorgeous, like really, I think they both really encapsulate like what it can be like working with young people. And I come from a background of working with young people. I share the same like enthusiasm that you have. And when I've spoken to people over the years, I think you can really notice the people who don't spend as much time with people outside of their own generation. I love spending time with younger people because I learn so much, and it shakes me up out of my kind of the part of me that feels the need to be like a sensible adult and do things in an adult way, and just being like, nope, let's just throw that in the bin. And similarly, working with older people as well, and just speaking to older people and having them in my life, it's so important to recognize what we can all learn from each other. And yeah, they're just such beautiful moments. I'm going to be thinking about them all day. And can we talk about music in relation to all of this as well? Like, the music is one of many amazing ways where we can express our creativity and kind of intuition and curiosity and all of those wonderful things.
Yeah.
And why do you think that's important to encourage, particularly in young people?
Yeah, I think there's something really human about music and art in general that goes very much, I think there's almost like a spiritual element to it that it's hard to get to without, I don't know, all the constraints of what we think is education and all of that stuff. I think this is actually learning how to be yourself and how to be human. And it's also an incredible connector of people. So one of the things I love is when we're making music with young people, they're coming from all the different schools and no school, and they're coming from all different backgrounds. And I think there's something so universal about it. Like, every culture has music, and I love that. And I think it's an amazing way to learn about each other. Even if you haven't got the language to have some of those conversations, you can learn about each other with music, and learn about yourself. And it's just beautiful. I think I'd die if I didn't have music.
Yeah, I agree. And it's often something that I guess because I don't work thinking about music all the time, it's something that I can take for granted until I'm in a moment where I'm like, oh my God, music is just one of the most fundamental things in the entire world. The way that it can connect to like dance and movement and like playfulness and silliness and all of that kind of stuff.
And even like natural sounds as well. I think in the last couple of years, I've been exploring that a bit more. Like, I just got into sea swimming in the last year, even though I grew up in Thanet. That's a bit of a funny thing.
It's kind of cool. It's because I've grown up swimming a fair bit, but I've really noticed in the last couple of years, it's like, oh, swimming's cool now.
Yeah.
Okay, let's all do
get
this.
Get in. But even that, like, just the sounds of the waves and the sound of wind, you know, and I think just like, it's not just produced music, it's also just like sound and the natural music of our environment, I guess.
Yeah. Gosh, this is making me want to like go straight back out once we've finished recording this and
just
go
listen.
For like a big walk and just like listen to the waves, listen to the ocean. Thank you so much. It's really nice to hear about kind of what Pi looks like now and the community that you've built and you're a part of. I kind of want to think about the future a little bit and reflect on what are your hopes and dreams for what Pi is going to look like moving forwards.
So yeah, it's our 20th anniversary this year as a charity.
Oh my gosh.
So this year is basically about partying and celebrating, and I'm so excited about that. So we're just like doing some crazy fun things just to celebrate. And I think our dream for the future is to be a bit louder about the things that are important to us. I think sometimes we've been a bit apologetic about stuff that's beyond music, but what we really realised in lockdown was that there's stuff that's so important to us as a charity, like inclusion and like having hard conversations and challenging power and distributing power and things like that, that sort of are underneath it, but we don't really talk about that very much. So I think what we're what we want in the future is just to keep elevating young people, giving them space and to have harder conversations and to get shit done and look after ourselves while we're doing it. That's my dream. My dream is to, whenever I move on from Pi, that I'm well and that I'm cheering them on forever, and that my whole team are well and happy. That's my dream. That's the dream.
You can't see this if you're listening. I'm nodding like so hard with that because we don't hear that nearly often enough, that you've got all of these like really ambitious and glorious dreams for what this looks like and for the future of it, but that embedded in that is that you are looking after yourself and that everyone is able to look after themselves and each other, because I think as people, this series is about like just completely amazing women who are doing incredible stuff. And I think sometimes when you've got like a fire underneath you and you really recognize the need for you and for other people to like build something and make stuff happen, it's so easy to sacrifice yourself for that. And that can make me really sad, like in myself when I see it, and in like people who I love and admire when they're like bettering their community, but to the detriment of themselves. And I just thank you, because that is such a vital part of all of this, that you're all, that as part of that, you're like, I want to say, when I say goodbye to Pi, for me to be in a really good place, as well as the organisation to be in a good place.
Yeah. And I definitely learned the hard way on that. I basically had a nervous breakdown when I was 24 because I'd been sold out for a cause that was also a really toxic culture, but I was sold out for a cause and didn't give a second thought to myself. And it wasn't sustainable. And I vowed to myself, I'm never, ever going to do that. I'm always going to love myself in the middle of everything and put myself first. It was a hard lesson to learn, but so valuable. And I think that is almost as important as the fire for the cause itself. Like the fire for yourself has to match it. Otherwise you burn out, I think.
Yeah. And we don't, I think almost now in kind of like post girl boss era, it's almost like that fire under you and the passion is like fetishized, but then it's really taboo to look after yourself and for nurture to be alongside that.
Mm-hmm.
Like recently, I keep seeing videos on TikTok of people being like, this is my routine as like an incredible entrepreneur woman. And I wake up at like 5 a.m. and I do this and this and this and this. And I'm like, oh my God, I just want to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Like, please.
Please leave us alone to sleep.
My routine is like at least 2 days a week, just being like small and silent, like a little vole trying to like recoup.
Yeah.
And we don't see that nearly enough. So thank you for sharing that.
No worries.
It's really important. We've kind of covered this already, but like, I want to know how beyond Pi and you nurturing yourself, when you look back on your life, like if we think about you as like a glorious woman in your 80s, like how would you like to be remembered for things like big or small?
I think I'd like to be remembered as being kind, and I'd like to be remembered as someone who spoke the truth. Especially to power, and someone that just laughed my whole way through life. That's how I'd like to be remembered.
That's really beautiful.
Thanks.
Oh, it's got me feeling really emotional.
Sorry.
No, because it all reflection, just and like all of that stuff is just really emotional, isn't it? But thank you. There's such like great pillars to have throughout your life, and I have no doubt that that is how you will continue to be thought of.
I hope so.
Thank you so much. It's been really, really lovely chatting.
Oh, thanks, Ruby.
And thank you for everything that you do in Ramsgate and beyond in this community. It's doing some truly amazing stuff.
Thank you. Really appreciate that.
Amy's crying. We've done a good job.
Oh, Amy.
I think we're done.
Yeah,
that's really lovely.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was lovely.
Oh, thank you so much.
Mate.
No worries. Oh.
Really good.
Should do a little group hug. Thank you to Olbies for having us and to Arts Council Recovery Fund for making this possible. Thanks to Darren on tech and Lisa, who's doing the BSL for this and all of the other podcasts. And we look forward to seeing Leading Ladies grow each year as a platform for us to celebrate the incredible women of Thanet. For more information on POW, the festival and the charity, check out powthanet.com and powthanet on socials. Thanks very much.
brilliant.